In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Sissoko finally waited. Eriksen low. Great ball into the middle. What a save by Heaton. Tonight's Davison Sanchez, Lucas Moura, and belted into the net. Brilliant goal. On debut, Tunde Ondombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs. Lucas Moura clips it. Oh, great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London! That is absolutely incredible on debut! Aurier! What a finish for 3-2 from Serge Aurier!
First time here to Son. Kane, good area for Spurs, and Kane's not afraid to shoot!
Wow, what a goal, Harry Kane! That is exceptional! Try and place it! Wonderfully taken by Eric Lamella! Never afraid to take on a shot, and with good reason!
Terry in the Burnley back line, and Son breaks forward.
Oh, wow, what a run! Heung-min Son, from inside his own half, has scored one of the best goals of his Spurs career!
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another show, Touchline Hot Spurs. Welcome, welcome. We've got a lovely cast here today. You know what? I don't even want to talk about today, but we're going to get into it, man. Si, how you feeling?
I'm all right, man. I had to wake myself up after that boring performance, as is usually the case with the Europa, but I think my energy will pick up towards the end of this pod.
I know exactly how you feel. I had to go make some coffee, man. How you feeling, Ohio?
Bro, everyone's feeling the same after that game. I even, you know how I normally have a colourful do-rag? I had to wear the black one because it was a funeral of a game, bro. It's a funeral, bro. Yeah, otherwise, I'm easy, man.
Teacher, you good?
I'm blessed, fam, yeah. Truth be told, yeah, just to stimulate my brain after that game, I literally played a game of chess, and I swear I'm not lying. Just to stimulate myself, man. Mentally after fucking, you get me, falling into some kind of void, man. But yeah, I'm blessed otherwise, fam. I'm blessed, man. I won the game of chess, by the way, if anyone interested in the result. It was a swift eating.
Well, someone had to win today, still.
Come on.
Someone had to win. You'll rate it. Tops, how you doing, my guy?
Yeah, good, bro, man. I'm good, man. It's been a bit of a busy day. I was at the gym with a PT, and my watch was buzzing off. I saw Dele Alli, 90 plus, and I thought, yeah, my agenda's about to run. And then I saw 90 plus 4-3-3, and I thought, yeah, these bums have pissed me off today, man. So yeah, I'm doing all right, man. I didn't see the game, but boy, I was reading some nasty things today, man. Some nasty things.
I'm not gonna act like I watched the whole thing, but I saw enough in it. And boy, he wants to start, man. He wants to kick off the funeral proceedings.
Should we start with the lineup?
we're gonna start somewhere. Yeah,
well, let's start with Joe Hart in goal. I mean, you're never confident when you see that, and today was not one of his better games.
With the first one. Obviously, you know what you get with Joe Hart. Like when we signed him, obviously there was part of the fan base that was like, yeah, we've got a winner in there. And another part was like, yeah, like motivational speaker. And I'm not on the shouting. You know what I'm saying? Like, some players do the shouting and they're very good and it's okay. You know, it's the same in rugby. Like if someone's wavy, you can shout at me as much as you want. It's fine. But if you're dry and you're shouting, I'm going to tell you to shut up all the time. When you grab, you're not allowed to shout. Like the correlation between shouting and ability, it has to be positive. Like, and Joe Hart is not. Like, I'm sure if anyone YouTubes Joe Hart long shots, there would literally be a 6-minute compilation of him just conceding bangers all the time. Like, if we work backwards, not a lot he could do about the third goal, to be fair. Like, it was just R1 circle, like, fair enough. The second one, I don't know what was happening there. Like,
one he got a hand to?
That was the one he got a strong hand to.
Come on, literally, man. Like, what kind
near
of...
post, innit?
And it was his right arm as well. I thought it was right arm Joe Hart, fam. I thought he had at least that. Bro,
if you get a strong enough hand that changes the direction, that direct the trajectory of the ball, then like, I have to look at you sideways. Mm. And then the first one, I give him a little bit of leeway because it did dip quite late. You know what I'm saying? Didn't see the shot coming. But on the other hand, we can't blame Joe Hart in its entirety. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he was poor today. Made a couple of good saves in between. I'll give him that. But when it mattered, he was sleeping. He was doing head and shoulders.
Mm-hmm. They said he was shouting at half time as well.
Because when the game first started, he had a few sharp moments where he was called into action. One, I think, was hitting quite hard. Udo was right down his throat. He sort of done the same thing. And there was another one where a man got through. I don't know who the striker or the attacker's name was, but he got through, had a shot on goal, and blocked Joe Hart down really well. So you see him start like that, and you start to think, all right, cool. It's starting to make sense now. And then, do you know what I mean? He let us down. He let us down without covering it all over again. He let us down. And to be fair, Mike, the question that I have is, was that a bad game for Joe Hart? Or is Joe Hart at that level where that's what we should expect from Joe Hart?
All I'm saying is it better be a one and done season for Joe Hart, because if he's in the first shirt next year, bro, mate. Like, he's on no planet is he an upgrade from Gazzaniga.
Yeah.
No planet.
Yeah.
I'd rather see like Whiteman or one of them men play. If we're going to fill a quota, let's not get like this big, shouty, flipping long neck giraffe brother with shit tattoos. Like, there's just no point to it. It's redundant. Like, he's a sieve in goal. He's an absolute sieve. Like, most of these games where we've sort of looked a bit iffy in the Europa League, they've all been howlers by Joe Hart. Howlers, absolute howlers. The guy's rubbish.
Bro, my man did not pull any punches just now, bro.
Rubbish.
From the heart.
From the heart, to the heart. But and then let's give him.
That was good, you know.
Well done.
Come on, that's called bars.
Bars.
Yo, all right. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt, though. I'm gonna. Hey, full disclosure. I'm feeling a bit sick right now. If I get hot, wait, I might need to go up and get some water. Yeah, but full disclosure for Joe Hart. Yeah. Listen, the defense, what do you think? I saw, well, Sanchez and Tanganga lined up in the middle alongside Doherty and Davis. And I mean, I guess nobody there is going to be feeling comfortable. So let me know what you guys think. Who wants to take us forward?
I'll start off. Fair point. I think, look, Tanganga, Sanchez, Doherty, Davis, it should be enough. And to be frank, it should be enough, but it wasn't today. I don't think Tanganga had a particularly good game, if I'm being honest. And I think quite highly of him, but I don't think he had a particularly good game. Doherty, in my opinion, had a shocker. I don't think he played well at all. And I think he's given Mourinho more and more evidence as to why Aurier should be starting in that Premier League side above him or on top of him. Sanchez, I just never quite know what Sanchez is doing. I'm never quite sure if he's playing a role where he's being that rock, that guy who stays at the back, or if he wants to be the person that's pushing it forward and trying to play passes to the likes of Højbjerg and Ndombele to progress the ball. So I just feel like there's no one in that back line that's communicating, that's pulling the strings, and that's being the voice of reason when situations get sticky. And with those back four playing together, they don't have the experience together to pull themselves or to inherently know what the other defender's doing without having to. So in high pressure situations, they can respond quicker by just having that train of thought, but they're not in sync like that. So without that leadership, without that clear leader in that back line there to direct them, then it's just clutching at straws the whole game.
So, I mean, let's say, for example, I think even if like Dier stepped in for Sanchez, I still think that back line would have been a shambles. But for me, I'm more blaming the fullbacks, like Doherty and Davis. I thought Doherty had a bad game, but I thought Davis was even worse. I don't know if anyone disagrees with me, but I mean, I felt like that's probably like another place where we lost the game. Like the midfield, like I'll be honest, I wanted to see this midfield for a little while. I've been calling for this midfield. But I mean, I didn't want to see it in these circumstances, man. Even if we won, it would have been one of those ones like, at what cost? Because, boy, I'm not trying to see these three play with this team, this lineup, man.
What was it? Lascelles, Højbjerg, and Ndombele, yeah.
But maybe not the way I would have played them.
I think that's one of the issues with this heavy rotation shit. As you said, with the back line, none of these men play together. And then in the midfield, we're going to experiment with two guys that need to be fit for Saturday or Sunday, I should say. And we just wasted them in a nothing game pretty much. Like that sort of shit gets on my nerves. But obviously we didn't lose. So I got to take a little bit of sunshine out of it a little, I guess. But yeah, it's not ideal. Definitely not ideal.
Not ideal at all. So speaking of the midfield, you'd probably say Lascelles did the worst of the three. Opinions on Lascelles today?
Yeah, he just wasn't good, you know. And I don't think that speaks to his ability. Genuinely, like, we know what he's made of per se. You know, that his stoppage time decision making at Stamford Bridge, which we will touch on, was hotly contested in the group chat after. Part of me feels if he gets an assist or a pre-assist or tucks it away at Stamford Bridge, he probably has a better game tonight. Mm. You know, we never know. That might have been playing on his mind a little bit. So maybe he wanted to, maybe he's thinking, oh, like, I really have to impress after doing it. It wouldn't shock me if Mourinho ripped him a new one or if people were looking at him a bit funny. There was a moment where I thought he was going to turn it on. I don't know if you guys remember in the first half, maybe like 15, 20, 25 minutes in, he just had this like 40, 50 meter burst. Like, just went past three man, and I was like, okay, he's kind of running out of options, but he's got someone on the left. And then he literally went full Lamella, like full Lamella, and he just got a nosebleed, ran into man, and he just lost the ball. I was like, oh, it's going to be a long night. But like, again, I think it kind of goes back to the thing with like our defense. You know, he tends to like take over from Ndom at 60 minutes. Like, we are asking him to play in a midfield he's not played with before. He's still trying to find like full fitness, which is always going to be hard to do when you're coming off the bench consistently. And everyone's just trying to impress. So I'm not going to read too much into it, but I'm not going to have a massive go at him, you know, because our fan base likes to do this thing where if you give constructive criticism to one player, suddenly you don't rate them, or suddenly it means you want them out. It's like, it's not that. Like, we know what Lascelles is on. He just wasn't on it tonight. You know, that's literally it.
Yeah, it gets like that, man. I think it was like that for a lot of players tonight. Even if we go to the front four, like, I guess we've got the... If we talk about the... Sorry, I'm getting confused. But we've got the Bale penalty, and then we've got Son's goal as well, and Dele Alli scored the other penalty, was it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Bowen, Dele Alli, I think it was Dyer. I can't remember who the other sub was. Good subs. Would you have changed it?
I think Bergwijn came on, made himself a nuisance. Good body positioning for the pen, good run. Because so, again, fan base are starting to do this thing where it's like, oh, has Bergwijn even got a burst? And he actually showed it. I can't remember who played the pass for him. It might have, was it, who played the pass for him, actually, for Bergwijn?
You're talking about for the penalty when he won
the penalty? Yeah. To be fair, it was actually the camera was showing a replay of something else, to be fair. Because then it just turned and the penalty was on. I think Bergwijn did okay for what he could do. Can't really ask much else from him. You know, Ali as well. It was a solid pen. It was like half Panenka, half straight down the middle. Sissoko looked clean when he come on. Didn't do anything stupid, to be honest. That was probably one of his more technical cameos, to be honest. He's like, his first touch actually looked all right in tight space, and he get pressed and he was like, oh, I'm actually going to turn properly and give this to someone else. So Sissoko, I was happy with. He came on, he was trying to clean up. But there was something that I'd sort of been reading a little bit into our tactics from. Again, I don't want to touch the Chelsea game too much, but we know when Sissoko plays, he sort of drops into that right centre-back-ish role to cover Aurier or Doherty. And obviously that has positives in terms of us being hard to break down. But at the same time, that does sort of leave that 18 to 25-yard area relatively exposed, you know, and that was something I'd been thinking, you know, are we going to find a way to deal with that, or is that just something we have to accept with the six in defence that we play sometimes when we don't have the ball? And again, what was the guy's name that come on? Who's the guy that scored? Kara something? Karamoko. Yeah. And Karamoko did exactly that. He just thought, oh, you lot don't want to press me? Okay, cool. So that's the only thing that worries me about our centre mids dropping into like that centre back role. But I'm not gonna blame Sissoko for the last goal. Like he looked all right when he come on.
Yes, I think that's probably all we could say on that match. Should we move? In fact, looking forward to the weekend. Last question: is there anybody that would get a start from this match?
Or the guy that started the last two games. Maybe a Son, Merwin, and
Fongi.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, actually, what I will say before we skip, because I don't want people to think we're protecting Bell too tough.
He's trash.
Okay, yeah. Sorry.
Oh, he was trash today. I was hoping to skip over it, mate.
You know what? I actually said, yeah, I don't think Bell's the same guy he used to be today. And I haven't said that in a while. Whilst it's some... Do you know what? I love Gareth Bell. I want to be the first man to say that. But I'm nostalgic about it. I've realised it's nostalgia. He doesn't deserve to be in a starting lineup at Spurs. Not based on his performances in the Spurs T-shirt. So I can't think about him in our Premier League side at the moment. Mm. I can't. Not yet, man.
Do you think he looks fit, guys?
No.
He doesn't look fit, no?
No. He looks like... He always looks like he's had a drink or something. He needs a shit before he plays or something. He doesn't want to run just in case he lets rip.
You know it is. When you know Gareth Bell, like we know Gareth Bell, yeah. It's like if you stayed up that night to watch the Tyson and Rachel Junior fight, fam.
Yeah. Good analogy.
That's what it's like, fam. You get
good analogy.
It's a couple good punches, analogy. But you ain't seeing nothing crazy. I ain't gonna lie, bro. You're pissed if you stayed up still. But yeah, let's move on. Let's touch on Chelsea. I don't know if anyone remembers the Chelsea lineup, so I'm gonna try and get some up.
We lined up with the same team as we did against City.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that was Reguilon, Dyer, Rodon. Aurier, who's a bad boy. Tongi, Sissoko, Højbjerg, Son, Kane, and Bergwijn with Hugo in goal, the only safe pair of hands at the club.
And it's funny, not too long ago, he didn't have that reputation, man. So you have to give him his props. Like he's definitely been a safe pair of hands at the back. And I guess where should we start, man? Like, should we start probably Rodon's debut? Like, what did you think of Rodon?
Yeah, I thought it was a big call for Mourinho to put him in. Mm. A massive game purely because of the magnitude of it and also the kind of opposition he's going to be coming up against. Mm. I think to start with, it was definitely nerves. You could see some of his touches, some of his passes. I was quite surprised that Chelsea initially didn't target him, but Dyer seemed to, you know, sit in with him and he seemed to make a lot of, I think he made like the most headed clearances in the game. And I think bar the mistake he made right at the end, I thought he did it. Yeah, I don't know, for a debut, top level, I think he did all right. I didn't think he did too badly, but I think moving forward, he's probably going to need a bit more confidence and probably need to play a bit more with the guys at the back there. But, you know, I didn't think he was bad, you know, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's only so much you can do when you make your debut somewhere that we have had one win in 30 years. Do you know what I mean? Mm. I have to give him his dues there. Like he was okay. You know what I'm saying? He had a couple shaky moments. That's down to nerves and stuff. But you know, again, it's onwards and upwards for him. I think the style that we played sort of helps to play that on your debut as a centre back if you've got flipping half the team defending with you. Or majority of the team defending with you, I think that's always going to be helpful. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think he was all right. You know, me and Tops had to do a bit of defending on the Discord. Like we were catching a bit of heat. You know, people were just like, "Oh, he's who's this hipster centre back because he's got tats and that." But he was fine, man.
Yeah, he'll be all right. Yeah,
he was okay.
I think his sort of debut just highlights how solid Dyer is, man. Like Dyer. By a substantial margin for me, is our best centre back at the minute.
Yeah.
I remember seeing like him visibly organising the defence and like being that person who says for everyone to get back into position and leads by example. And I'm not a passion merchant by any means, but that's what he brings. I think him more than anybody else knows the stakes of making some of these mistakes. So. Over time, I think we're starting to see him become a really refined and confident centre-back, and that lends well for younger guys playing next to him.
I think as well, like there was at times we could see we kind of changed to this kind of 4-4-2 shape where Kane was dropping back sort of alongside Ndombele. And it was weird. Like I feel like in other games we could counter from that position, but Chelsea sort of held us back. I don't know if it's because Kante was where it's just Kante and in general, like he just dropped back in between the defenders. But I mean, it felt like at times like we weren't going for the win. It felt like sort of Kane's dropping back, but nobody's going beyond him, and we just accepted that. I don't know if anybody else felt like that.
I think it was a hybrid. I think it was a mix of not wanting to lose, which isn't always a bad thing because I was on, I'm sure everyone's probably heard of Clubhouse, but I just randomly was on this Clubhouse for football and a couple of them were like, oh, what does that say about your mentality and stuff? And I was like, look, like we knew a draw was going to take us to the top of the league. We knew we've not won there. We've only won once in 34 occasions. Like it's okay sometimes to go for a draw. Like, you know, we don't need to be compared to the way Liverpool and City do things all the time. But then on the flip side, as I said, it's a hybrid. I do think part of it was Lampard didn't want to get caught on the break. Like anyone of sound mind knows what we're like on the break. And I think there was a part of Lampard that felt they couldn't come at us 100 miles. Like they have the talent to come at us 100 miles an hour. Like they definitely do. But I think secretly they felt like they couldn't just get, you know, Chilwell and Reece James that flying up because, you know what I'm saying, certain man will catch you. So I think that was probably, it was probably a little bit of both, you know what I'm saying? That's probably what it was.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to us being pragmatic in the right ways. Stick to your job if an opening presents itself. Try and be clinical. And I think that's the only disappointing factor of the game for me is not taking the few opportunities that we did have. As was mentioned before, that opportunity at the end for Lo Celso to just make the right decision, which could have led to a direct goal mouth opportunity. It's one of those things where it adds an extra bit of weight for somebody who's been struggling for form and for someone that's been struggling for a place in the team. Mm-hmm. So it was heavily, heavily disappointing from that aspect.
Yeah. I mean, looking at the game, it felt like a point either side was the fair decision, considering, you know, everyone sort of cancelled each other out. There were moments when Spurs looked good. There were moments when Chelsea looked good. But I think defensively, both teams were switched on. And actually, although it felt like Spurs were sitting for majority of the time, I felt like that was tactically how he wanted to set up for that counter-attacking opportunity. And obviously Lampard is very aware of that, so was also not as committed to pushing people forward as perhaps he might normally be against a weaker opposition. But yeah, overall, a point aside, decent enough result. We maintain top of the league. Let's move on. I think, you know, it's a good result for Spurs.
And just one more positive and negative. I think we have to shout out Reguilón as well. That's Mahrez and Ziyech pocketed in back-to-back games. That's
crazy. Spectacular fashion as well.
That is crazy. He locked them up like it was tier three. It was nuts. you have to respect it. He's been here how many weeks now? I have a lot of ratings for that. I really hope we can keep hold of him when the time comes. But on the flip side, I do think, and not just, I've said this before, Giroud slapped four against Sevilla. I think if Giroud gets Tammy Abraham's chances, I think we're in a little bit of trouble. I think he's at least one away. So that's just something to be wary of. But at the same time, you expect Chelsea to create at home. So, you know, but you know what I'm saying? If we're going to get 0.00 XG in the second half and it takes us to the top of the league, you will not catch any of us caring, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
So, on this whole master versus apprentice vibe, who do you think won the battle of the managers?
I'd say Mourinho would be happiest.
Yeah.
Out of that. Going away from home and shutting out your opposition. That's half the job done, do you get what I mean? Or three quarters even. To look at like how league titles are won and lost, realistically, I think people put a lot more sort of weight on the head-to-heads than maybe should be. When you look at the table, you always look at, are we away in this fixture or are we at home? And when it's against direct rivals, you want to win your home games and at least draw your away games. And we did that. So for me, it's in that list of Mourinho performances, if you will, where that's where the praise is well deserved, I would say.
Okay. And before we move on to Marine, I guess my last question is, how long do you think we can find success sitting back and countering teams? Do you think we'll get sussed out, or do you think this?
Well, I wouldn't say sussed out, but then, you know, you kind of have to, as like Si said, you know, sometimes you have to take like a pragmatic approach in certain circumstances. And whilst they're similar oppositions in terms of their stature, it was two very different games that we played. One, you know, very sort of, I feel like it was a clear plan against City to, you know, pick them off at certain points. Whereas I think we always knew that Chelsea, you know, who had been free scoring, they had a fairly sizable defence, with a lot of different attacking sort of threats, that it was always going to be quite difficult for us to play the same way in both games. I do feel like whilst some people can look at the game and be like, there were parts of it that were negative, I feel like Mourinho knew exactly what he wanted to take from that game. And a point, you know, 4 points out of six against the last two oppositions we've played going into Arsenal at the weekend. I mean, you probably would have thought, well, this is the best sort of situation we could probably be in, I might say.
Definitely agree. And now, so we had FA Cup draw on Monday. And we got a team called Marine, which I'll be honest, I'm not too familiar with. I'm hearing they're an eighth tier team, but I think we've got somebody who might have to be our local expert at the moment.
Oh, my God.
The one time it's beneficial for me to be a Liverpudlian these times. Yeah, man, I watch Marine FC all the time. You know, very high pressing. I'm chatting shit. with the Marine game, from what I've been told, like the Marine FC, like they love it. Like they flipping. There's man, like no word of a lie. There's like this fat wall behind, and literally you get people like stacking up ladders and literally just standing over it, taking turns to watch. There's a bit. I saw something like, there's parts like around like the stadium, like in the gate, where they have like these numbers, and basically the numbers is the is the door number of whose garden the ball has gone in, so they know who to chat to if the ball's gone over that side. Like, it's nuts. It's crazy.
So basically, they play at Craven Cottage, yeah?
Basically, bro. Yeah, no, like, apparently, like, from what I've been told, like, there's one girl on my course, like, her granddad used to play for them, and her dad's, like, always there. Like, they're flipping. They're so up for it. Like, they're actually so gassed. Tottenham coming through, so I'm trying to get a plug for the game. I might try and do like a live stream on the Twitter or the Insta or something if I can get there. But yeah, with the game itself, you know, Kane will play. He'll probably play at the last 15 minutes or something.
Mm.
But we need to get it done like early on because they're gonna be up for it. Do you know what I mean? That's just how these kind of games go. Some people say, oh, we should play Dane Scarlett should start, we should start Jack Clark, and we should start this guy and start Serkin. It's like, yeah, but we might also have to start Dele Alli. Son might have to start. Like, it wouldn't shock me if Højbjerg starts. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because like, we can't underestimate the psychology of these kind of things, because the Marine boys are literally going to play with no fear whatsoever. They have absolutely nothing to lose. They could get slapped 10-0 and still be happy. Do you know what I mean? And that's quite a dangerous prospect. Now, I don't want people to listen to this thinking I'm shook. Like, I know how people like to twist words and that, but I think we just need to be on game, get it shut down, and then bring Kane on just for the people then. And yeah, hopefully I can get. I know Jack's trying to sort a ticket as well, so hopefully we can get in there for the boys.
I can't lie. This is the first time in a long time where we've had a draw that wasn't a Premier League side. At least it feels like that anyway. So I'm starting to think that there's some underhand business going on at the club, but I won't touch on that too much in case they're listening. But no, man, this is like what you want from the FA Cup, isn't it? It's like the magic of the cup, all of that bullshit that people talk about. But no, man, I'm excited because, as you said, if they're going to play with no fear, then we get to see like a bit more of an unknown type of quantity, and that always adds to the entertainment, unless it's in the Europa League, of course.
Yeah, I would love to see an Alfie Devine get a run out though. That's the one thing I want from the game. I want to see some Alfie Devine. That's all I'm hoping for.
I'm always like, interested about these games, like how players, especially like top players, top pros, how they like approach these games like psychologically, because it can be so easy to just turn up and you've got the minerals, you've got the technical ability, but whether you're actually mentally there to be able to do what you need to do to win. And I'm always like interested to see just how it does, because obviously they get into a ground that's going to be smaller than what they're used to. It's not going to be as nice as what they're used to. It's going to be in somewhat of a hostile environment, almost like a training game, you know? So it is exciting. I mean, this is the kind of game that the FA Cup is meant for, but I'm also like, when I spit bars in a
ring, man, I go hard, last stand, can. Hello, Meads here from Touchline Fracas. 2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. So businesses all over the globe have been challenged to be their most efficient, and that means that every single hire that they have is critical. Indeed are the number one job site in the world, with more total visits than any other job site. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly, so you can focus on hiring the right person for your business. Unlike other job sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring, so you only pay for what you need. And now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a shortlist of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out for a free $75 credit at indeed.com/bluewire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to indeed.com/bluewire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. When I spit bars in a ring, man,
I go hard, last stand, can. Just get the job done and let's head back to London, basically.
You know, we have like a scare of one of those kind of games. Like, I can't remember if it was like a Gillingham or something.
I think it might have been, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who scored? I think
take it home.
Was it at home? Do you know at home?
I think we drew away and then had to take the game home.
Like Colchester.
Yeah. Colchester, I think it was. Was it Colchester? I can't remember exactly who it was, man. But it's interesting that you bring up mentality, yeah. Because that's pretty much what it was probably on that day as well. Like, I think there should be enough about the boys to get through the game. Like you said, it does feel like there are a few key leaders in the squad now. So like you don't even have to have all of them on the pitch really to get a result. The Marine boys will be up for it. So it should be a good game to watch, but I don't think that they should cause us too much of a problem. It's just hopefully go on.
Sorry to interrupt you. Like, going back to the mentality thing, like, thinking about the game today, right? And the way we played in the last two games, do you think today was mental? What do you guys think? Do you guys think this sort of game was mentality thing? Do you think maybe the boys dropped off knowing that we got Arsenal at the weekend? Do you think they thought that they would have enough to just beat LASK? Because like games like today, I just think you get the business done in the first half, you can afford to relax in the latter part of the game, or you know, you concentrate enough to be able to deal with these sorts of oppositions. Because you know, whether we like to like say it or not, we are clearly superior to these type of teams. But for some reason, in the Europa League, we've had games like this where like Antwerp, the first one, didn't really turn up. Today, we played largely three quarters of the first team and similar sort of result.
I think there's two parts to it. I think mentality definitely plays a part. I think it's extremely difficult to be on at all times. Like, nobody's like that. Like, you see all the time, the European hangover is either a team performs well in Europe and drops off in the league or vice versa. There's never that continuity. And also, I think it's just preparation. At the end of the day, like, these men have just prepared for Man City, then a game in between against Ludogorets. Now we had Chelsea, now these lot, and then we've got Arsenal. It's like, on the list of priorities, Mourinho is sitting there and he's saying, let's get some extra work in for these big games because the league is our bread and butter. We can afford to slip up just a little bit in Europe. So I think it's a double-edged sword, realistically. Like, you don't want to just keep throwing out your best players and potentially risk injury. And you really don't have the time on a training pitch to go into the fine detail on what LASK are going to do in the game. Like, let's be real, no one cares. Like, you show up, you try and win, and you keep it moving. So I think it goes both ways.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that entirely. And also, like, LASK came out firing first 5 minutes. Like, they hit the post in the fourth minute. You know, Joe Hart actually looked like a decent keeper for the first like 10 minutes. So you know, I think also the fact that LASK, like, we slapped them, what, 4-0 at home? Was it 4-0? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so obviously they came, they didn't want to be embarrassed on their home patch. Do you know what I'm saying? Their home form's actually been pretty decent. I did actually have a look just in case. So yeah, I think, but like we said at the end of the day, we've qualified. Let's get the job done at Antwerp so we can finish top and save the potential Madrids for later on in the competition. You know.
Yeah. One thing I want to add as well. You spoke about mentality, but I think the mentality of the opponents is important, as Ohio just pointed out. Like, they definitely came. Like, they would have known that we wanted to kill that game early, and they came to give us a bad day, man. They made it difficult. And like, hats off to them. Do you get what I mean? Like, they fought to the end. They fought literally to the last kick of the game, like, to get their equaliser. So they didn't want to. They weren't lying down for us. It wasn't a game that we were ever going to kill off. I think once it had kicked off, 3-1 going into the 80th minute at 2-1 for the game to finish 3-3. I think is ridiculous, isn't it? But it comes down to mentality of both teams, which I guess
already this season as well, which is funny.
Scary when you bring it up like that, for real. When I spit bars in a ring, when I
go hard, last and tan. Football is back in full swing. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. When I spit bars in a ring,
man, I go hard, last stand, tan. So, I guess all of that mentality talk kind of lines us up nicely for the next hot topic, which is the next London derby, the other London derby.
That man there.
That man there.
That man there.
Let's say this used to be probably the biggest London derby, but let's see these guys down the road. Where are they now?
14th, isn't it?
Is it 14?
14! How many times you have to scroll?
You can't even see them, man.
Have you seen that little thing that's gone viral? 14? Jesus is Lord!
Oh my days, 14.
That deserves an Oscar, you know.
What, how long can these lot be down there before we can stop talking about them as top six? That's what I want to know.
They didn't finish that top six last season, boy.
Man said top six.
Why are they always in the top six combos, bro?
These men are like flipping, they get all of their shit via nepotism, bro. They get their place in the first division via nepotism. Mm. They're flipping invite to that Super League by nepotism. Mm. Wenger doing his underhand business.
Yeah, man.
FIFA and that. Mm. And then, obviously, now, they're still chatting about these men as top six, even though they ain't finished top six. It's like, what is this? Get them out of here, man. Fuck me, man.
Bob's out of
here. Match three, like, I don't know. Like, obviously, we're not watching Arsenal right now. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't even look at the lineup, so I don't know who's playing. I think I saw Pepe was playing.
Yeah, he is.
Ah, cool. So, who do you guys expect them to line up with? I'm guessing we're gonna see probably some Willian. Knowing
Arsenal, yeah, Aubameyang, surely, because I don't think he started today.
Yeah, no,
he wasn't even on the bench, was he?
No,
he's not on the bench either.
He's on holiday still.
We'll probably expect. Are they going to play? They're going to play three. They're going to play three at the back. Try and close off the half spaces that Son likes to exploit. Probably.
Yeah, I think they'll go 3-4-3.
Yeah, so I'll say Leno. Do you think Tierney will play left centre back?
Yeah.
Tierney. They maybe Holden will play. Is David Luiz fit?
Well, he had this head injury on the weekend, I assume. He will, because he's not playing tonight.
Yeah, and football's moving a bit fugazi with its concussion protocol, so it wouldn't surprise me if David Luiz plays. And then the vegan model, he'll play right wing back. Saka will play left, whatever his role is, he'll play on the left. just left. play Xhaka. All jokes aside, I'm so glad Partey's not playing. Like, he's,
yeah, man.
Guy's hard. Let's not lie. Guy's hard, and you know, it's very strange because even when Partey does play, they still try and get moves going through Xhaka, which is very, very strange considering one is very clear of the other. But that's by the by. Xhaka, Ceballos, and then say Willian, Aubameyang, Lacazette, probably. Lacazette come off tonight, as standard. So I kind of expect that. I mean, Willock hasn't come on. Are they going to do this pressing 10 thing that they do with Willock? I have no idea why they play him that far forward. So I think realistically that would be the team. Any dangers? Any key battles, gentlemen?
is that a trick question?
Is
Aubameyang going to have a shot on goal? In open play.
Boy, the only danger I'm seeing is if Arteta does his, six at the back formation or whatever that he does, man. Like, he's moving like Stoke at the moment. What is it? Paella Pulis. Paella Pulis.
Oh, very spicy.
The only danger is that it might be a boring game, I think, if they turn up like that.
That's the thing. Like,
I think the wings are going to be interesting. I think it'll be an interesting battle between Bellerin and Reguilon, because both want to get forward. So I think there's an opportunity there for people to get found out. And their pace can sometimes commit them out of position. So I think that will be an interesting dynamic to watch. But I like to think with that Sissoko sort of blocking off that channel that we should have enough there to manage that. But we'll see how the game goes.
I'm looking forward to it. Like, yeah. Everyone knows already when it comes to them, it's fuck a minute. Like, that's the sentiment. So like, I try to fear them because it, I don't know, like adrenaline is a positive thing. Do you get me? Like that fight or flight. I like it. It feels good, but I've got to manufacture it for this fixture nowadays because them man are waste. Them man are shit. We're just better than them. And yeah, it's like you go into these games now and it is not the expectation to win, but it's the feeling of comfort, I would say. Like I'm uncomfortable going into these fixtures. The last time I felt like this.
I'm not nervous about the game at all.
Yeah, it's true, it's true.
Exactly.
But I mean, do you like, I mean, all right, so let's paint a picture here. I mean, recently we struggled against lower league sides, gentlemen.
Wait. I just put two and two together.
I'm just saying, isn't it? I'm just saying, if we're watching the mentality against Marine, you get me? Where? You can't put Arsenal too far. Apple don't fall too far from the tree.
What I will say, though, you know, like, obviously it's always fuck a minute, but that aside, I do think Willian has potential to step up. I think, yeah. You know, I'm not going to... I think Arteta has not got it right in a lot of ways this season, especially attacking-wise. If you look at some of the passing maps from Arsenal's last couple games, nothing happens down the middle. Like, no exaggeration, nothing happens, which is kind of scary if I'm an Arsenal fan. So it kind of, you know, I was alluding to, you know, when Karamoko got a shot off against us tonight, to be fair, like, what, two of the goals came from shots down the middle. So, you know, I think Arteta's probably going to see that and think to himself, you know, there's going to be a bit of space to exploit in and around the 18-yard box and around the D. You know, Willian isn't a bad player at 10, you know. If I was an Arsenal fan, I think I'd rather see Willian playing in the middle. So, you know, will I expect me? I might, you know, I know we said three centre backs earlier. It could be a 4-2-3-1 vibe potentially, or, you know, it could be a transitional thing. Five at the back in defence and then four going forward. If Willian can exploit that space in front of the centre backs, you know, when Sissoko drops off, possibly. But then at the same time, I would trust Jose to react if it felt like Arsenal were getting too much space in that central area, and Højbjerg to just do what Højbjerg does, clamp a man that comes anywhere near him, to be honest. It's weird to say, not scared of Aubameyang, to be honest. I know that there is a man on Twitter who unfortunately had to leave the cast who got one final tweet off about Aubameyang not too long ago, and he got ratioed for it. But it would seem that he is the oracle. You know, we know you're listening in the shadows. We want you to know that.
Speaking of shadows, I'm trying to think, if Aubameyang, by some grace of God, does manage to score, what mask is he gonna wear? The Batman or a Bane mask? Because them motherfuckers are in the pits.
Literally, like,
they love the darkness. They were raised in the darkness. Like, them man, it's like shouting down the world for them, man. Like, where you at? You all right? You need some food. You can't see them.
Oh man, because right now, man, Aubameyang is eating off scraps, mate. The very, very minimum, mate. Like, when I told this guy, shots on target, chance creation, even in attacking areas, he's not even finding himself. So it's mad that they have the confidence that suddenly, after scoring less goals than Fulham in the Premier League, that they're going to suddenly come to our house and do a madness. Oh, impossible.
But Bamian needs to sign up for Rashford's free school meals, bruv.
Trust me, he's hungry.
That brother's starving.
You might as well bring out the surgical mask, man, because he's looking like a tier three striker right now. It's not looking good for him. It's not looking good. I mean, he's not even looking much better than Lacazette at the moment, and that's not saying much.
More goals in him, bros.
Yes, that's not.
Goals.
What is it when you give these men the bag, man? I don't know what happens, but every time one of their brothers gets the bag, it's over. It's curtains. They need to bring Ozil back. To be honest,
find the thing. In fact, that's the only threat. That's the only threat. If Arteta came to his senses and finally played Ozil. That would be the only threat from.
No, I'm sure, bro. Still wavy, man. But boy, they went all off with that, man. They went all off with that. And now look at them. They can't create chances for nothing. They can't score goals for nothing. Their attacking play is basically non-existent, man.
Dead. Bro, I swear they sacked Gunnosaurus to sign Aubameyang, fam. They might as well have kept him and played him up front, fam. It could have been mad.
If you look at all the departures from that club, man, like Aubameyang must have lost all of his brethren or something, because he looks a lonely man out there, man. I do worry that we're going to give away a stupid free kick and William's going to slap it top bins though.
I can see that happening.
Yeah,
like,
that to me is their biggest threat, is a set
piece. I could see us conceding a penalty. VAR will be called during the extent of that match. I can see a VAR decision. Either for or against us, I believe there'll be a VAR decision, man. Because there's going to be activity in the box today, in that game. What do you think? High-scoring game or neutral?
I'm going for low, yeah. I don't think they got the bottle for it. I might eat my words, but I don't think they got the bottle for it. I think they're gonna stoke it out. I think we get a clean sheet and maybe a one goal, two goal. I don't think it would be too crazy. I think we're due another clean sheet.
If we get an early goal,
it's a wrap.
Yeah,
could be curtains.
Bro, that Discord is going to be popping. Either way, I'm going to be either way.
I think Arsenal will come to play. I think.
Yeah, they should. They'll do it for
their fans. Are they good? Yeah. There's not going to be people in the stadium, is there?
There is.
Okay. Yeah, it's different. It's different. It'll be a different game, man.
It will just be our fans as well.
Yeah. Yeah, perfect. Perfect. It will be different.
What does 2,000 man even look like? I just can't imagine it.
You know what? They spaced them out. I was looking at the Arsenal game. They spaced them out so you can kind of see. They're not obviously filling the stadium, but like everywhere you look, you can see people, innit?
Okay.
Because they're spaced out. It's like
a football level will be higher than the Emirates. Still.
No, Steve. Sigh.
Oh, mate.
Library thing. Yeah, 2K fans, no lie, it actually just looks like a whole school assembly. You know them big ones from year 7?
That's actually a perfect description still.
You're like a whole school, bro.
It's a joke thing.
Well, I guess just to wrap up, I mean, I just want to talk more about how Arsenal fell behind us, man. That's all I'm interested in right now. Like, what do you think it was? Like,
I think the writing was there, man. Like, this whole, the thing for me that irritates me, and I know our group chat isn't, like, open to everybody. So one of the conversations that always comes up is, would we rather finish X amount league position with a trophy, this, that, and the third? And for me, it's always a stern and hard no. I'm not trading any part of our journey over the last 15 years to be any more like Arsenal, like not in a month of Sundays. Because for me, when they were at their peak, and this is their peak in their history, we were at the pits of our history. And this is the thing that people need to factor in. Like, yeah, none of us men were born, this, that, and the third, but it all counts. Do you get me? Like, we don't have Tottenham Hotspur Football Club if we don't pay homage to the past. So that's number one. Number two is since they went undefeated, they've been on a decline. They went into their new stadium with an aging, decrepit squad. All their star players were leaving. We, on the other hand, went in with our talisman still there, our ballers still there, and a manager who got us to a position where we could sit at the table with certain men and have certain conversations. Not to say that we fully deserve to talk to certain guys. I'd say Liverpool and United maybe the only exceptions, but the rest of them, man, are there and thereabouts with us. Like, our trajectory in the next 10 years could easily see us win just as many Premier League titles as Man City, for example. Like, it's totally feasible. So this whole idea that, like, they're somehow superior to us because of history or the odd FA Cup, to me, is, like, the biggest indicator that them man are rattled by us. And I would have it no other way.
Yeah.
Well said.
Definitely. I think they just, I've been saying it for like a little while, like Arsenal fans just need to accept that they went from, you know, obviously when they had, you know, Henri, Perez, Ljungberg, when Wenger was peak of his powers, Vieira, all that man, they went from chatting to Sir Alex and literally like using White Hart Lane as tissue to wipe their arse with. They went from that to then celebrating finishing above us. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the first thing that they need to accept. And I think it rattles them. And I've never really heard any of them say it out loud, bar one or two behind the scenes. It genuinely rattles them so much that they've gone from laughing at us all the time to it being a genuine... laughing at us all the time to it being a conversation, who's better? That was the beginning of their anger, to it now being, we are better, clear of them. You know, yeah, you can win your... Of course, we'd love to win an FA Cup. But when, like you said, Si... And it got touched on the main pod very, very heavily between our man Moises and our man Sam, where it's like, would you trade this our recent history for yours, last 10 years? And it's like, well, not really, because, yeah, like, the FA Cups are great, but Arsenal fans themselves don't actually care about the FA Cups. Arsenal fans are only happy with the FA Cup because they get to use it against us. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because
it's weird, though, because them men are talking about getting Pochettino in. After 5 years of talking,
winning nothing, exactly.
Bro, they sacked Wenger, winning cups. Like, what was it, like 3 in 4 years, and they sacked him. And now, what have they won? Like, one cup in 4 years. Like, do you get what I mean? Like, it's not. Who cares, man? It doesn't matter. Like,
well, Arteta's won an FA Cup, and they won him gone.
They're saying he's in the mud. They care about it less than we do.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. It all comes down to your league performance, man. That gives you a measure of how good your side is in comparison to the current competition. And Arsenal just can't measure up anymore. And that's sad for them. But
and quite frankly, it's been turning. The tide has been turning our side. And they can see that. And it's not as if, like, the table don't lie, bro. It's been like this a little bit now. And it's rattling them because it's constantly being like this. And they're actually seeing, whilst they are declining at a rapid rate, we are progressing at an even rapider rate. Whilst we haven't won leagues, we haven't won cups, but as a club, the stature of the club, the quality of the squad, the profile of the manager that we have, it's all coming together, man. And that's probably what's rattling them, because they're thinking, Arteta this, Arteta that. Arteta's in the mud. I can't believe it. He's literally in the mud. I was chatting to someone the other day, and they were like, yeah, Arteta's got to go. I was like, you what? Like, are you literally saying this? Like, which I just don't get. But that's their man over there, and this is us man over here, man.
So you see it?
So I had to ask the Mugger man. I didn't ever get an answer. I think they might be trying to save them touchy Gooner boys from getting totally rattled. But I was asking, like, did that man take offence at the fact that Arsenal fans still think that they're rivals? Like, 15 years is a long time. I lost my virginity, got married, had 3 children in 15 years, bro. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's mad. Like, half of my life has gone by since they last won anything. They last won the title. So it's one of them ones. It's like, what, give it 5 years and can we really talk about their last league title without them sounding like Liverpool or this club or that club? Like, to me, it's ridiculous, isn't it? Like,
it is, man. It is.
15 years, bro. 15 years and you're still trying to eat at that table.
Yeah. Si put it best earlier. I think he said it's a free-fall. Like, they've been in free-fall. And I think recently, let's say, like, over the past 3 or 4 years, the parachute's gone. Like, just forget about it, mate. Like, the falling's getting crazy. Wait, no, remind me one more time. I just want to hear it. Where are they again?
14!
Hey, Jesus, that's a wrap. That's a wrap. Hey, catch you next week, guys.
Bless up, bless up.
Blessings,
come
blessings,
on, Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs. Let's hammer these, man. Let's hammer these, man.